Thank you. Good day, friends. It is our great delight and joy to come to you. And isn't it precious that you and I can sit together for a few moments every day and discuss the precious Word of God, and especially concerning our wonderful Savior, who not only died to put away our sins, but also He died in our room instead. He's a substitute for us, as Paul could say, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want these two aspects to be before you as we study the book of Galatians chapter 3. The question has been raised, if I'm not justified, if I'm not saved by works, if I'm not saved by keeping the law, then why did God give us the law? And we found out that the law was a ministration of death. The law gave a distinctive character to sin, and the law cannot give life, and so on. I'm not going to go over that again except to remind you of it. And then I said in verse 23 that the law was like a jailer, like a policeman, who kept us in jail until the sentence should be executed. And then faith came in. Somebody else took our place. We were counted guilty. The verdict, you must die. This is Romans chapter 3, 19 and 20. And 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Chapter 18. And if I do not die, somebody else must die in my place. The law of God, its demands must be met. And when Jesus died on the cross, He bore your sin and my sin. He died your death and my death. This the law could never accomplish. Now in verses 24 and 25, we have these amazing statements about the law when we read, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our pedagogue, to bring us to Christ, that we might be declared righteous by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Now, this is a verse, these two verses are very, very, this is strong meat. The law was our schoolmaster, not to bring us to perfection, not to make us good, not to fit us for the presence of God. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We cannot be justified by the law. The law's work is to show us how bad we are, that we might come to Christ and be saved. And when a person comes to Christ and be saved, the work of the law for that person is finished. I wish in some way I could make that clear. Do you mean to tell me that Christians are not under the law as a rule of life? Well, my friend, will you read the verse? Will you read it? The law was our schoolmaster for what purpose? To bring us to Christ. How does it do that? The law shows us how sinful we are, how bad we are, how helpless we are, how hopeless we are. The law demands righteousness. The law demands sinlessness. The law demands perfection. But you say, nobody's that way. That's right. That's why all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the Scriptures have concluded all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. None. N-O-N-E, none. Not a living soul on the face of the earth has ever been saved, redeemed by keeping the law. The law, the purpose of the law is to bring us to Christ. We're not justified by the law, by the tutor, by the pedagogue. Its work is to bring us to Christ, and when we have come to Christ, its work is finished. May I again make a statement I made some time ago? The law has had nothing to say since the cross. The law was until Christ. And when Christ died for your sin and my sin, as far as the law was concerned, it was through. It was finished. and the faith which justifies a person ends the rule of the schoolmaster. We are no longer under law, but under grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now, I can understand Paul starting this chapter, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth. The thing that rejoices God's heart is faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The relationship to the law has been severed. We are no longer under its jurisdiction. Now, I know when I've been saying these statements, there are a great many people, possibly many of you listening in, you're puzzled about this whole thing. You have been taught all your Christian life that you must keep the law if you're going to keep saved. Or if they do not put it that way, they will tell you that keeping the law is a proof that you are saved, or a proof that you have real faith, that God demands obedience. Now, I recognize that our love for Christ is evidenced by obedience to his word. I didn't say the law, his word. Because when you come to the epistles, there's abundant instruction with respect to God's people and how they should walk. But I'm dealing now, there are two distinct principles of operation. Either we are saved by works, or we are saved by faith in Christ. And you can't mix the two principles. Now, does that mean that if I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I can go out and do anything I want to do? Now, don't read into it what isn't there. If I become a child of God, the Spirit of God comes to live in, and he's giving me the Word of God to follow. And if I really love him, I will manifest my love for God by my obedience to his word, by submission to his will. And this is the problem. And because some Christians, professing Christians, do not live pleasing to God, and because their life is not filled with a desire to please God, we come along and we use the club of the law upon them to try and make them behave. The law cannot make you behave. All it can produce, my friend, is dead works, dead works, dead works. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But the position of the believer before God is never on the ground of the law, but on the ground of faith in Christ Jesus. Christ becomes not only our justifier, he becomes our very life, which leads us to the very next statement, starting in at verse 26 and running through into chapter 4. We have the fact that we are a new relationship. We are the children of God by faith. Now, before I take this up, I want this thing very, very clear in your mind. That when you and I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and when I say that, I do not mean that you're just assenting intellectually to the historical facts of Scripture. There has been a relationship established between you and the Savior by simple faith. You have really taken Jesus Christ into your life as your own personal Savior. Then you are no longer under the law. You are no longer under its jurisdiction. Remember, the law, all the law can do is to curse. And this is the trouble. Legalists will never allow that all the law of God can do is curse. But the book here says, the law not being able to give us life, not being able to deliver us from sin, was a jailer, was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And having come to Christ, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. The relationship to the schoolmaster, the law, has been severed and severed once for all. We are no longer under its jurisdiction. I sincerely hope I've made this thing very, very clear, which leads me to the next division in verses 26 to the end of the passage. You have a little transition here from into a new life, into a new relationship. And in verse 24 it says, we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I just want to stop here for today. I want to get this idea into your mind. When it says we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, this doesn't mean everybody on the face of the earth. There are those who believe that every man and woman is by nature a child of God, and all he needs to do is to find it out and declare it and acknowledge it without any need of Christ dying for us and being raised again from the dead. I receive this by mail and by telephone. People tell me that they are the children of God because we were born that way, except there comes a time in one's life when we begin to realize it. There are those who believe in a common fatherhood of God and a common brotherhood of man. Does the Bible teach that? I wonder if it does. I suggest that you listen in to our next lesson and listen to this. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And when we come to verses 25 and 29, it goes a little further into it. What it really means to be a child of God by faith. What it really means to be a child of God. And then the manifestation of it. And may the Lord wonderfully bless you today. And will you not revel in the person of Christ, your Savior? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. And the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And the law finishes its job when it brings us to Christ. And having come to Christ, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. You rejoice today in your Savior, an all-sufficient, ever-blessed, perfect Savior. Revel in Him. Get occupied with Him. Fill your heart with worship for Him. And may He control and dominate your life today for His name's sake.